Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you, honey. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. So we're continuing on with the second part. We've been doing a series on With God, All Things Are Possible. And we're doing the second part. So if you missed the first part, you got to go back because there was a lot of good stuff last week. And you can hear it online if you go to our website. But we were talking about three young Jewish men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And last week we learned their names were not really that, right? They were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, okay? But they were their names were changed when they came into Babylon. And a lot of times when people think about this story, they think about a couple different things. But last week we talked about that their impact was on Nebuchadnezzar. Remember, he mocked them when they first said they wouldn't bow. He said, "Who is this God?" Right? He wasn't challenging them. He was challenging their faith in a God that he didn't understand. But last week we saw that he came to understand who God was, right? And how he ended up praising God in the highest and declaring that. And saying that nobody else is going to serve any other gods except for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's. And today we're going to look at something different. So we're going to look at the names really quickly of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I want you to understand that even though the Babylonians did not understand God, they recognized something on these young men. They saw something different. Amen? And that's what the world should see when they look at us. They should see something different. We should not look like the world. Oh, I wish I could grab a hold of the church family at large and say that. We should not look like the world. We are not here to be people friendly, seeker friendly. We are not here to just invite people in to coddle them and keep them and stay them in their sin. That's not what the church is for. Amen? We should not look like the world. Otherwise, why would they want to change? Why would they want to become Christians if they can just stay the way they are? Amen? Now, the Lord does accept us as we are when we come. I'm not saying that. But he doesn't accept us and keep us there. Right? That's totally contrary to his word. He changes us to become more like him. Thank you, Jesus. Right? That's the exciting part. So even though they didn't understand the God that Shadrach, Meshach, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, they didn't understand their God. They saw something on them. So listen to the names that they gave them. Shadrach. The name Shadrach is a Babylonian commander of Aku. Aku is the god of the moon. So they saw something in this young man that made him seem powerful. These are young men. These are not aged men. These are young men. They were selected out of all of Israel. They weren't slaves. They were brought in to be the wisest men of the country. Okay? So they recognized something on, Hananiah. And the connection here was to bring, to influence, in command of this deity. That's what his name meant. So he's a commander of Aku, is what they recognized. They saw him as one who had authority. Meshach. Do you remember what his name was? His name was Mishael, was who is like God, right? Now listen to his name. Meshach is who is what Aku is. Do you see how they could see it? They could kind of grasp what they could see on these young men, and they were just giving them names that they thought would attribute to something in their world that would be close enough. Does that make sense? But all three of these young men are given names that are of authority. The last one, for Azariah, his name meant to help, to support, to assist, and to surround. The Lord did. This one is servant of Nebo. This was a Babylonian god of wisdom and learning. So you can see how they're taking what they know and they're trying to put it on these young men. But how many people know when they're in their quiet places, they're not Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? When they're talking to the Lord, he still recognizes them as Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Amen? Aren't you so glad that it doesn't matter what the world puts on you, how God sees you will always be the same. Amen? And so we see here that they came before him because they wouldn't bow. King Nebuchadnezzar had made a huge idol. He commanded everyone to bow down and worship the idol. And we talked about last week, this wasn't like 100 people, wasn't even 1,000 people. This was millions of people are out here. He's got the entire kingdom is out here. And when they blow the trump and they make the sounds on all the instruments, you are supposed to bow down. We talked about last week how that must have felt when everyone around you, everybody have been in a huge crowd before, everyone's standing, all of a sudden everybody goes, whoop, and here you are with your friends. And that's it, just the three of you, okay? So they come into his presence, and the king's like, you need to bow. You need to bow down. Who is this God that you're serving? You need to bow down. And what we don't understand sometimes when you deal with Bible stories is that there's a bigger picture. We're just getting a glimpse of this picture. And there's a phrase in here that people have built literally a religion around that is kind of like a scapegoat if God doesn't answer their prayer. And we're going to look, and it's in verse, I'll start with verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. Well, first of all, they're just letting him know. And why are they saying this? Because these are his wise men. They aren't just shut up in a room. These are the people that when he has a question, he calls them in. He knew them, okay? And they're saying to him, we have no need to answer you in this matter because we've already talked about this. And that's why he was saying, who is this God that you serve? And they go on and they said, if that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. So they've set the precedence. But what we don't understand is this conversation went way more than three verses. This was going on, and he was trying to get them to come over to his side. See, the world does that. They try to convince you you're wrong. Your God won't be faithful. Why do you tithe? You know what you could do with that 10%? What a waste. I've had somebody before in our past as that we worked with our finances, and they stopped me when I shared how much that we gave, and they said, why do you do that? Do you know what you could do with that? And I said, well, I know what would happen if I didn't do that. So no, I'm not changing this piece here. We can talk about all the other 90, but this piece right here isn't changing. No comprehension, just like Nebuchadnezzar, no comprehension that there was a God that was able to save these young men from him and his decrees. And so then it goes in verse 18. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image which you have set up. But if not, three words. And I have heard more people in my lifetime as a Christian stand on that part of the verse, the but if not, I will not bow. And what they don't understand was when you look up in the commentaries, they were exasperated at this point. They had reached the end. They had been dealing with King Nebuchadnezzar. They had been trying to state their point over and over and over again. We have already talked about this. You already know who we are. We're not going to bow. And exasperation, they said, and even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow. Can I tell you something? Three words is not a theory that you should base your life on, especially these three. But people will say that, but if God doesn't, I'm okay with that. That is not what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were trying to say to him. They were down to their wits' end, and they were saying, listen, you don't get this. So guess what? Even if you don't get this, we get this. Fine. If he doesn't save us, we're still not going to bow. Do you see the difference in how that comes across and how people will interpret that? That's their scapegoat. For what? For not having to stand in faith. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego never had any lack of faith in this entire passage. But yet people will look at this and they'll say, well, this is my way out. If God doesn't provide, well, I'll still serve him. No, no, that's not what they were saying here. They were saying, we have already talked about this. Our God is able to save us from you and anybody else. And at the end, they're just like, ugh. And this is what made the king so mad. This is what made him stoke up the fire even hotter, was because they were saying, even if he doesn't, we still aren't going to bow, right? And at this point, the king is furious. You ever dealt with someone in your life that you've tried to talk to them over and over and over again and explain your belief in something and they get furious at you, right? You're not listening. God is not going to do this for you. Guess what? My God says, with him, all things are possible. Now listen to the story. It says that they bound these young men. They were bound, their feet and their hands. The fire was, I think, 2 or 3 times hotter. What is it? 6 times hotter? 7. Thank you, Randy. 7 times hotter. So it's really stoked up in here, okay? And they take them, and they had strong men that picked them up and threw them into the fire. This is how hot the fire was. The people that threw them in died. This is impossible that somebody could live through this, right? Absolutely impossible. And what does it say? Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke to his counselors. Verse 24. Did we not cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? This is a concept he can't even understand. He's like, guys, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3. Wait, didn't we throw 3 in there? And look, he answered, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they're not hurt. This is impossible. But with God. Say it with me. But with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. They're not just in the fire. They're walking around in the fire. I just can't wait to get to heaven and say, guys, what was that like? Walking around in the hottest fire that they can produce. You are walking around. I don't know. That's walking on water and walking in fire, those are about, they're pretty much pretty cool to me. This is an amazing thing that happens. And he says, and the 4th looks like a son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the burning fiery furnace himself. He didn't send somebody this time. He went himself. And he says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, listen, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of fire. And then all the king's men, all the wise men, all the counselors, they're all looking at them. Can you imagine? They're probably like, are you real? Are you real? And they said they smelled them. You ever had somebody smell you before? They couldn't even smell fire on them. But you know what was missing? What they had bound them with. They were no longer bound. This is an amazing, amazing story. So what do we walk away with today? With God, all things are possible, right? But even if the world, or even if the enemy, because he'll come in the middle of the night and he'll tell you, God won't come through. He won't do this for you. You know what you can tell him? Oh, yes, guess what? I remember a story about 3 young men, and it was impossible. It was impossible, their situation, but God brought them through. And guess what? I've already talked to you about this. See, we can say that. I've already talked to you about this. I've already prayed about this. I'm no longer going to answer you anymore. I'm not, because I have faith to believe when God promises, he performs. So what does this have to do with our finances? Everything. Everything. Because when the enemy comes in to kill, steal, and destroy, if he can't get you in one area, he'll try another. He'll try. They tried to get him to bow with food, and they wouldn't bow. So now he makes an image, and they still won't bow. So whatever it is that the enemy tries to come against you, and a lot of times it's our finances. Because when there's a lack of finances, it's harder for us to focus on other things because we're focused on what? How are we going to get to the next paycheck? How are we going to do this? But when you are a tither and a giver, and you give, you have a connection. You have a covenant with your Heavenly Father. And with him, nothing is impossible. If he's given you a dream or a vision for something, you hold on to that and you don't let go. Amen? Amen. Grab your tithes and offerings this morning. Father, I thank you so much for this amazing story. Amazing story. We have seen through the story how you have touched a king, someone in authority, because of the unwillingness of these three young men to bow. And today, Father, we've seen that even if something looks impossible, God, we can stand our ground and stand in faith and believe, despite what it looks like, what it sounds like, what it feels like, we can stand in faith and believe our answer will come. And Father, I pray that when we share our testimonies with people, when we share the things that you have done in our lives, that we wouldn't let what they say alter what we know to be true. And we also wouldn't cower because of what they say. That we would be bold in our testimonies. We would be bold in our faith to share. Because there are more people out there that need to hear about the goodness of God and about how he can do things that look impossible, and he can make them possible in our lives. I pray, Father, for every seed that is sown today. I pray you bless the sower, a hundredfold harvest, God. We call it in from the north, the south, the east, and the west, because these are the last days, and we have a job to do. And, Father, jobs take money. And we thank you, Father, there is no end to the financial blessings that you have. No end. And, Father, we say we are willing to be vessels you will flow through to touch the world around us. We give you praise and glory this morning in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen.
Oh, praise the Lord. Well, let's pray and we'll get right into today's message. There it is. More to come on that. More to come. Hallelujah. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen and amen. Well, praise God. You can open your Bibles to Numbers chapter 19. You know, it's kind of like rodeo season, you know, and all this kind of thing. A lot of fun out there. But this past Saturday, the Torah portion that, you know, Messianic Jews around the world in every synagogue read the same Torah portion. And I've been kind of tracking along with that for a couple of years, praying for Israel and, you know, connecting the dots between, you know, Jews and Christians. Same God. Somebody say, same God, same team, right? Now, Judaism, obviously, you have to accept Jesus Christ as Messiah. So you look for, you know, if you're listening to rabbinical teachings, rabbis, you want to find somebody that's a messianic rabbi, right? And for me, I met Rabbi Joseph Shulam a number of years ago, and they have a ministry called Nativia that we actually partner with in Israel, and they're just wonderful people, and so I found him on YouTube. Praise God for YouTube, right? And he has every single week, he recorded, I think it was during 2020, he recorded every week a little like 20-minute blip on the weekly Torah portion, and it is gold. I mean, I just love it, you know? And it doesn't mean, you know, when you're tapping into other ministries, and it doesn't mean you necessarily agree with everything that's said, but man, I'll tell you what, there are gold nuggets. and I learn more than I say, I'm going to pass on that part, you know? And totally, right? But this week's message was about the red heifer. Somebody say the red heifer. And of course, today is a healing service. It's kind of a transition service. We're going to go into some new things in weeks ahead. But I want to come back to believing God to be our healer. Somebody say, Jesus is my healer. So what's that have to do with a cow, Pastor Steve, right? And I was kind of wrestling around with this a little bit, you know, just like a cowboy, right? Probably my favorite rodeo event is the one where they let the cow run and the cowboy has to woo and then wrap it up, you know. Well, that's kind of what I was doing with this message. So if it feels a little bit like a rodeo, well, there you go, right? Somebody just say, yee-hoo, saddle up. But Numbers chapter 19 talks about the red heifer. And this is a prophetic thing that's happening in the world today, right? With this specific animal, believe it or not. Glory to God. And Numbers chapter 19, I guess if we had a, I know Kenneth E. Hagin would call it the golden text. Today it's the red text, the red heifer, right? So we're in Numbers chapter 19 relates to the entire chapter that we're going to look at and just kind of go through this. But how many of you are just ready to receive healing today, right? Even if you don't specifically need a healing, it's preventative then, right? And I don't know about you, but I have noticed that I live in a human body on planet Earth. And sometimes I like to eat stuff that may not be the best decision. And I feel it a little later, right? And so God, somebody say, God helps me. He helps me to plug in, to have faith, to grow, to believe such things as this. Amen. To believe him, to heal my body, to keep me well, to keep me going long and going strong. Anybody else in here believing God to go long and strong? Right? Glory to God. Well, then you're in the right place. Amen. Because you will not hear in here that you may die young and you may get a disease and it might be God's will for you to, he might try to teach you something by putting some terrible thing on. Somebody say, no, no, that's not the God I serve. The God I serve heals me. He doesn't come to hurt me. Glory to God, right? Amen. Well, Numbers chapter 19 says this. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, this is the ordinance of the law which the Lord has commanded, saying, speak to the children of Israel and that they bring you a red heifer. Somebody say a red heifer. Don't ever call somebody a heifer. That they bring you a red heifer without blemish. Now this is key. Somebody say without blemish. In which there was no defect. Somebody say no defect. And on which a yoke has never come. You shall give it to Eleazar the priest that he may take it outside. Somebody say, take it outside. Take it outside the camp, and it shall be slaughtered before him. And Eleazar the priest shall take some of its blood with his finger and sprinkle some of its blood seven times. Somebody say seven times. And Shelley mentioned, you know, in that story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that they made the furnace seven times hotter. Somebody say seven times, right? And when you hear a number in the Bible, a lot of times it has significance. The number seven is the number of completion, right? And when we're looking at this red heifer and hearing these words in Numbers, we need to connect the dots between then and now, because a lot of this is very prophetic in nature concerning the things that Jesus Christ has done and completed. The number seven, somebody say completed, right? On your behalf, right? And when you talk about sprinkling the blood seven times, you can go back to the story of the crucifixion and you will find seven times, somebody say seven times, where Jesus shed his blood for you, right? Amen. Somebody say amen. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he sweat great drops of blood. When they arrested him and they beat him, he had bruises, bleeding on the inside. When they whipped him, by his stripes, you were made whole, you were healed. When they put the crown of thorns on his head, right? When they pierced his hands, when they pierced his feet, and when they pierced his side. Somebody say seven times. A complete and total redemption as Jesus paid for you. So when they took this animal outside the camp, which they did with Jesus, and they sacrificed him there, they sprinkled the blood seven times. Amen. And this was a complete work that God was doing. And what this did was it qualified the priest, purified the priest to serve in the temple. Amen. Take some of his blood with his finger and sprinkle some of its blood seven times directly in front of the tabernacle meeting. Then the heifer, say the heifer. I just think it's fun to say heifer, right? It almost sounds like a cuss word, but it's not. Next time somebody cuts you off, just say, you heifer. No, just kidding. Don't do that. Then the heifer shall be burned in his sight. Man, if it wasn't enough, no, you have to burn the heifer. Oh, man, have you ever wanted to burn a heifer? I was burning some heifer this weekend, and I ate it. The heifer shall be burned in his sight. Its hide, its flesh, its blood, and its offal shall be burned, and the priest shall take it, take cedar wood, say cedar wood, and hyssop, say hyssop, and scarlet, say scarlet, and cast them into the midst of the fire, burning the heifer. And the rabbi, Joseph Sulam, called this whole thing a phenomenon. He's like, we don't really know why God said to do this, but it's prophetic. And if you read through the rest of this chapter, we're not going to spend any more time right here in this specific chapter, but you will see that there's words like, you do this forever. And it's related to the temple, right? And it's related to qualifying a priest to serve in the temple. Amen. And the temple, of course, has been destroyed years ago. And Rabbi Shulam said that in AD 70, that's the last time they did this. This hasn't been done since. Isn't this amazing, right? And again, 70 has the number what? Seven. Glory to God. And skipping down there's some notes here in my, like I said, this is a little bit of a rodeo. So we're going to jump to D in my notes, right? The red heifer, these are some notes I got from Rabbi Shulam. The red heifer provided by the priesthood provided purification. Amen? Somebody say purification, right? And that there, so in other words, without this sacrifice, the priest was impure. So Rabbi Shulam was saying, therefore, from the year AD 70, we cannot have a Jewish priest because they are not pure based on this forever commandment. Now, that's remarkable to think about, right? Since the destruction of the temple in AD 70, there has not been a red heifer sacrifice. Because why? Because there's no temple. The temple was destroyed. And prophecy talks about the temple in the end times will be what? Rebuilt. Rebuilt. Somebody say rebuilt. Now, of course, we know in the spirit, we are the temple of God, right? So we're not taking away from that. But there are certain things that God has set up, mandated, that are going to happen. And this is a remarkable thing to think about. Prophecy says that the temple will be rebuilt, indicating the red heifer sacrifice is going to return. And since AD 70, they have not done this. In fact, to date, in recent times, there haven't even been red heifers in Israel at all. But guess what? In 2022, the state of Texas, somebody say Texas, they had a rabbi come and inspect some red heifers, and they sent five perfect red heifers to Shiloh, Israel, and they're there today. Somebody say, wow. Right? This is end time stuff. And if you think about the number seven, to God, a day is as a thousand years. What's this got to do with healing, Pastor Steve? Somebody say, hang on. It's a rodeo. Just hang on, right? So the number seven again, to God, a day is as a thousand years. We are literally at the cusp of entering into the seventh millennium, the seventh day. And so the red heifer has all of a sudden, boop, back in Israel. This is remarkable in terms of prophetic things going on, end times things going on, which means sometime in the near future, in the next who knows how many years, they're going to begin to rebuild the temple, which correlates with end times, with the tribulation period, all this kind of stuff. Isn't this remarkable to think about, right? Somebody say big picture. In fact, you should. I was almost going to show this YouTube video. There is a report from the 700 Club that deals with this directly. If you just search it out in your homework time, just look up Red Heifer 700 Club report, and they have like an 8-minute report on this very thing, and it will make you say, "Wow." There's a guy there from Indiana living in Israel feeding the red heifers. And they said to this day, because this is, you know, 2022, they said as of now, 2025, two of the red heifers were ruled impure. So three of them are still good, two of them are out. I don't know exactly what that means, but they're not going to use those, right? But these are prophetic things that God is doing. Amen? But when it talks about stepping outside the camp, now let me back up again. Let me back up again. Go to Hebrews chapter 9. Hallelujah. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your love, for your word. Before we hit that, In verse 6 of Numbers 19, it talks about cedar wood. Say cedar wood. And that means strength, durability, divine favor, beauty, best, resilience to decay. Now, there's some good healing words right there. Somebody say, I receive strength, I receive durability, I receive divine favor, I receive beauty, I receive God's best, and I am resilient to decay. So when they added cedar wood to the fire that was consuming that red heifer, these are some things to look at, right? And then hyssop means words like cleansing, purification, physical and spiritual purification and cleansing. Praise God. And then scarlet, when it says they threw scarlet thread in there, that symbolizes the severity of sin. It also represents the blood of Christ and the cleansing power of his sacrifice. So all these things are very, very meaningful even to us today. Isn't this remarkable? Amen. Now, Hebrews chapter 9, this is to kind of bring it forward into today again. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 14 says this. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with greater and more perfect tabernacle, with a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. Somebody say, with his own blood. He entered the most holy place once for all. Well, if it's once for all, why are we talking about sacrificing again? This is a God thing. This does not replace, you know, when they start doing this again, it doesn't mean Jesus is no more, you know, not effective anymore, right? This is a little bit of a phenomenon that God said forever this needs to be done in regards to temple, in regards to priests serving in the temple. But Jesus' blood is what this represents ultimately. Amen? He entered the most holy place once for all. Somebody say, glory to God. Having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats, the ashes of a heifer, there you go, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more? Somebody say, how much more? The blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now go to Hebrews chapter 13. We're going somewhere here as we receive our healing today. Verses 8 through 13 here. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And aren't we glad? Amen. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines. For it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have been not profited those who have been occupied with them. I think I had some food like that in recent days that did not really profit me much, right? But boy, I enjoyed it. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin was burned outside the camp. Somebody say outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the camp. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. How many know Jesus lives on the outside of the camp? Amen? And I want to really consider the word camp as in terms of like a synonym in this message for the word reality. How many know there's a difference between truth, what the word says sometimes, and what I'm really facing in my life? The word says, by his stripes I was healed, but yet the doctor gave me a report that I've got this blood test and this issue or that issue. The word says this and that, but I'm experiencing, the reality is I'm experiencing this. Amen? So what we're talking about here is a change of reality based on the Word of God. Jesus, somebody say, Jesus is outside reality. Jesus, of course, he's here too, but he is taking us to a higher place. A higher place. And the word altar, it talks a lot about the word altar. And I did a little word study on, you know, the word altar with an E-R and the word altar with an A-R. How many know if you go to the A-R, you might avoid the E-R? Right? Come on, right? Take yourself to the altar. And the word altar in with the A-R is, it, you know, it talks about the altar of sacrifice. Right? It's an elevated place. Somebody say an elevated place. Right? And ER talks about making something different, to alter. How many, there's a lot, not millions and millions, but there are people right now that believe they can actually alter their gender. These are lies from the devil. Amen. To steal, kill, and destroy. But if we want something different, if I want a different report, I'm going to have to go to the altar of Jesus. Amen. And receive his cleansing, receive his sacrifice, the fullness of it. So many Christians stop at, I got saved, and I'm going to heaven. And then from now on, it's just hang on till Jesus comes. Well, how many know there's more than that? Well, how dare you say that? What could there possibly be that's more than that? Well, if you had to choose one, that would be the one to pick, right? But somebody say seven times he shed his blood for a complete and total redemption of our lives. Glory to God forevermore. And this red heifer reminds us of that. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Amen. Mark 11:22 says this, Jesus answered and said to them. How many know Jesus has an answer for the reality that we face? Amen. Jesus has an answer. In fact, he is the answer to whatever reality that we're facing in our life, whether it's a health issue, whether it's an addiction, whether it's a someone we're praying for that's just, you know, under the control of the devil in their life and it's just grieving you, right? Whether it's whatever's going on in the world, Jesus has an answer for that. Amen. And we come to him outside the camp, which would, you know, the camp would also include my own mind, my own intellect, what I'm limited to in my understanding, coming outside of that into the spirit realm to where Jesus is. Somebody say, get to where Jesus is. Amen. Why? Because if you get to him, then this situation is going to be altered. Hallelujah. If we don't want any change, just don't go to Jesus then. If you do want change, go to him. Somebody say, go to Jesus. Get to Jesus, and I mean now. Glory to God forevermore. Amen? Praise Jesus. Stepping outside the camp of reality where Jesus is, and the rabbi used this term, and this is really a lot of what inspired this, was the rabbi used the term outside the consensus of human experience. Somebody say, glory to God. That's where Jesus is. Jesus is out on the water, right? Jesus is in the fiery furnace, right? Jesus lays hands on the sick and they recover. He speaks a word and demons flee. And he's my Lord and my Savior. Glory to God. Somebody say, get to Jesus. Go to Jesus. If you want your reality to be altered, to be different, then we got to take our reality to the altar. To the place of sacrifice, to that elevated place. How many know when Jesus was crucified, they elevated him? They lifted him up on the cross and he bled and died, right? And so in order to alter the reality that I'm facing in my life that I don't want, I need to come to the altar to bring my reality to the altar. Somebody say praise his holy name, right? And Romans 10 verse 9, here's a couple of good examples of this. Alter your reality by taking your reality to the altar. Here's one great example, right? Romans 10, verse 9. How many know your eternal destiny was altered? when you said this, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That happened when you made a decision. Amen? Your eternity, literally, was altered by making that prayer, that confession of faith, coming to Jesus and just saying, Lord, I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. I confess to you that I've sinned, and I receive that washing of the blood. That's one example of this. And how many believe it worked? And it's still working. Hallelujah, right? So here's a good verse to use too. And the Bible is full of verses that we can look up and just confront the reality with the Word of God. How many say, confront the reality with the Word of God? The sword of the Spirit. And that includes our health. Amen? This verse, you know, Joel 3:10, beat your plowshares into swords. That sounds like something different, doesn't it? That plowshare became a sword. And your pruning hooks into spears. That sounds like something was altered. And then it says, let the weak say. So the reality is, in this area of my life, I have been weak. But the word says I should say the opposite. Well, that sounds really odd, doesn't it? Well, Jesus is outside of that. He exists on the outside of this realm that I'm limited to. And if I want what he's got over there, then I need to say what he's got over there in the middle of where I am right here. And he loves us so much, he'll walk us, he'll live with us right through the here and now if that's what we want. But we don't have to stay there. Somebody say glory to God. And that's what this little red cow reminds us of today. Amen? Glory to God. Look at Hebrews chapter 11 just before we pray here. This is famously known, I've heard it called the Hall of Faith. Now, how many know this Bible is full of people who had to face a lot of different realities? But when they got a word from God, a promise from God, and they laid hold of that, how do you lay hold of it? By meditating on it. We don't meditate on the reality. We meditate on the revelation of who Jesus is. And then we tell the reality who Jesus is. Right? Hey, mountain, guess what? My God is bigger than you, so I command you to get out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. But look at Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to pray. Now, faith is, again, Jesus said in many places, Mark 11:22, Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Somebody say, have faith in God. Now, that's the answer to the reality that we face, whatever it is. The answer to it is have faith in God. God is bigger than anything, than anyone, than any problem, than any challenge. He loves you greater than that thing is. He'll help you. He'll lead us out of it. Somebody say out of it. But if we think he might have put that on me, to teach me something, to keep me humble, to bear my cross. How many know Jesus already bore the cross on my behalf? He already suffered the nails and the whip and the scourging, a complete salvation so that Steve can walk out a life of victory. And a life of victory doesn't mean there's no challenges. But this is the tool we have for the challenges of this life, for the realities of Steve turning 54 in 2 weeks. Some of you would say, oh, don't talk to me about 54. Don't even talk to me about 54. But how many, it doesn't matter what age we are. There's the word cedar wood, the symbolism there is resilience to decay. What does that sound like to you? That sounds like we can get outside the camp there a little bit. You see what I'm saying? When it says strength, and when I feel weak, this morning I felt grumpy, man. You don't want me preaching grumpy. And the Lord helped me to draw some strength out of his Spirit, right? Durability. When the going gets tough, the tough get tougher, right? see the beauty of God, to believe for his favor, to receive our cleansing and our purification. These are not one-time things. These are ongoing daily things that we can have in Christ, right? And it will affect you not only spiritually. See, again, some Christians will get off into the, well, it's just spiritually. Ooh, this spiritual. Well, the spirit man affects the flesh man. If you don't believe that, that's every one of these crazy things. You heard the story in recent days about the kid that murdered those firemen in Idaho. That was a manifestation of something he was doing spiritually that caused him to act out naturally. So you can't tell anybody that what's happening in our life spiritually has no effect on what's happening. The boy thought he was an animal. He was like one of those the Furby lie, right? That's downright satanic, and our schools ought not be promoting such things. Amen. Putting litter boxes in bathrooms and nuttiness like that, right? Because it ends up in murder. So we can't say that what happens spiritually has no effect physically. No, this cleansing that this reminds us of not only is a spiritual cleansing, but it will also be a physical cleansing. So you can expect manifestation physically. And the blood of Jesus, the blood of Christ, the cleansing power of his sacrifice. Amen? But Hebrews 11, now faith is, somebody say now faith is. Somebody say faith is always now. It's for something you're believing for out there, but faith is now. You can possess it, whatever it is you're believing for, now by faith. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, somebody say by it, the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. I mean, it goes on and on. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. Can you imagine that? There are two guys on the planet that lived and did not die. And they will be back. I remember Charles Capp saying, so they're up in heaven probably eating from the tree of life so they can stay alive, right? Enoch and, was it Elijah? Yeah. And they're coming back. They're unfinished business. But he did that by faith. Glory to God. Amen. Do you know, I heard Charles Capps talking about the body of Moses. He said, I think Moses got resurrected too. Because you know when it says that God buried Moses and all this kind of thing. But then if you look later, it talks about Lucifer is arguing with Michael about the body of Moses. Why would Lucifer have an issue with Michael about the body of Moses? Because it's not time for resurrection yet. When Jesus went up the mountain to the Mount of Transfiguration, who did the disciples see? They saw Elijah and Moses. That's not a spiritual body. I mean, some things with God are, I mean, we got to get somebody to say outside the camp, right? And that's the joy of living a life of faith, because a life of faith is outside the camp. Amen. Glory to God forevermore. Without faith, it is impossible, it says in verse 6. I mean, we're just going through some of these bullet points. So you can read the whole chapter. But some would say, it's impossible for my reality to change. Yes, that's true, without faith. So therefore, we could also say, with faith, what's Shelley's message been titled? All things are possible. Woo! By faith, Noah, being divinely warned, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham obeyed, glory to God, when he was called to go out to the place that he would receive an inheritance. By faith, verse 9, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country. Verse 10, for he waited. Faith enables you to wait and wait and wait and wait and wait and wait some more. Faith and patience, right? He waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Oh, isn't it great to be in partnership with God? Faith means you are in partnership with God. Now, who can stop that? Hallelujah. By faith, this is one of the key verses here for today. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength, right? To conceive seed. But how many know by faith you can receive strength? You can receive your healing. Glory to God. But if we're in doubt about whether God wants to heal me, or I brought this on myself, so why would God want to heal me? How many know we just got to get past all that stuff? And just take the word at face value and just say, I receive strength for my healing. Glory to God. Verse 12, therefore from one man and him as good as dead. How many know Abraham is over 100 years old? The Bible says he was as good as dead. The devil might be telling somebody, what do you think you're doing believing God for anything else? You're as good as dead. But somebody say faith. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Hallelujah. Having seen afar off or assured of them, he embraced them and confessed them. Somebody say embrace and confess. Embrace what the word of God says and let it come out of your mouth. Glory to God forevermore. Verse 14, those who say such things declare plainly. Somebody say, declare plainly. I mean, say it in tongues if you don't know what to say. Hallelujah. Verse 16, but now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. How many of you are desiring better things? Better health, better things going on in your family. Amen. I mean, that requires faith. Faith in God. Verse 18, they concluded that God was able. I can't do this, Pastor Steve. The doctor said this, and this is going on. This is the reality. But we just need to simply come to grips in our spirit man and say, yeah, I acknowledge that. I face the facts. I acknowledge, yes. But guess what? My God is able to do it. Hallelujah. And then just have a little laugh about it, right? By faith, verse 20, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Verse 21, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, how many know there's no better way to die than in faith? Hallelujah. When Joseph was dying, he made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. I mean, this is amazing stuff. That's outside the camp, outside the realm of reality kind of stuff. That's reality altering kind of things. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents. And they were not afraid. How many know faith takes the fear out of you? Glory to God forevermore, right? By faith, Moses, verse 24, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Faith gives us victory over sin, man. Verse 17, by faith he forsook Egypt, endured as seeing him who is invisible. Faith sees the invisible. I can't see it, Pastor Steve. That's because you're not looking with the eyes of faith. I see my healing. I see me well. I see me strong. I see me rich. I see me blessed. I see me just absolutely accomplishing everything God has me on this planet to get done. Somebody say amen. By faith, he kept the Passover, verse 28. Verse 29, by faith, they passed through the Red Sea. Oh, my, right? Verse 30, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. By faith, verse 31, the harlot. Somebody say, the harlot. Do you mean a prostitute can use faith? Somebody say, yes. No matter where someone's at, if they just get connected to God, it will change everything. And when we meet her in heaven, don't call her a prostitute, because she is no longer. She'd been redeemed from that life that was put on her and forced upon her. and she saved many others. Glory to God, right? By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe. There you go. Say, I believe, therefore I live. Right? Oh, praise God. It just goes on and on. Verse 33, through faith they subdued kingdoms. How many have noticed a subduing going on in the USA right now? Things that the devil thought he was going to get away with are being subdued. And he is throwing a fit about it. I believe this flood that happened, you know, is also a spiritual thing. That the devil, he's a lot of behind these weather disasters that happen like that. A lot of his henchmen are getting thrown out of this country. And so he does, okay, well, I can do this then. No, somebody say, no, you can't. We kick you out and we subdue you by faith in the name above all names. They worked righteousness. They obtained promises. They stopped the mouths of lions. Glory to God. Quenched the violence of fire. Escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. Became valiant in battle. Turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. I mean, somebody say, faith works. Faith in God works. So there's a lot of people that are saying right now, I just want something that works. And faith works. Faith in God works. Just look throughout history, right? Can anybody testify that your faith has worked? Can you just lift your hand and say, yeah, yeah, it's worked for me. It works. Glory to God. Amen. Still others had trial of mocking, verse 36, scourgings, yes, chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, sawn in two. Can you imagine this? Were tempted, were slain by the sword, wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. There are people right now in this world that are being brutally treated because of their faith. And we pray for them, right? But whatever, what I can tell you right now, what they're doing, they are doing it in faith. And the ones who are martyred get a martyr's reward when they get to heaven. Glory to God, right? Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, man, you know, maybe the best reason to have faith is not for what it does for me, but because it pleases my Father to have it. It pleases my Heavenly Father to know that Steve and or anybody else out there is believing and receiving all the stuff that came on my son. Glory to God. Somebody say, I'll take it all. I take it all, Jesus. Hallelujah. All these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better, somebody say something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. We're all, somebody say, we are all in this together. And there's no better way to go out than to go out in faith. I think of Dr. Jerry Seville, who about a year and a half ago was on a road trip preaching, went to his hotel room, was making a cup of tea, and died. Just dropped dead in his hotel room. Man of faith, faithful man, word of faith man, preaching healing and deliverance and miracles and the blessing of God. And he had a clogged artery in his neck that just, he just instantly in glory. Right? There's no better way to go out than preaching the gospel. Amen. And I still feel like we were robbed of some years. But I love that man's ministry. But I know where he is. And there's a lot of things that he said that I haven't heard yet. So I can just keep listening and keep listening and keep listening, right? Somebody say, keep listening. Don't let the devil use one thing that happened to somebody else and talk you out of what you're believing for you. Glory to God forevermore. Let's stand up and let's receive healing today. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We're just gonna make a confession of healing based on these words that we've spoken today. And we're just gonna receive it by faith. How do we receive it? By faith. And by the words of our mouth. And there's also extra power because there's a corporate faith that we have when we're all together. Hallelujah. So just lift your hands this morning and just say, Heavenly Father, I receive this word that you have ministered to me today. I receive the effect of the blood that Jesus shed all seven places to redeem me in my willpower, as in the garden, to redeem me in terms of inner hurts in my life, as of the bruises, to redeem my mental faculties, as in the crown of thorns, and to break the curse of poverty off my life, as in the crown of thorns. And I receive my total physical health. By your stripes, I was made whole. Spiritual, physical, financial, emotional, I receive my healing today in every area of my life, in every area. Hallelujah. I receive what you did for me on the cross, and you bled from your hands and your feet, that I lay hands on the sick. Hallelujah. And they recover. I lay hands on my own body. Just lay hands on your own body and just say, in Jesus' name, be made whole. And then say, I receive it. And we thank you that you bled from your feet, that wherever we go, we take it as our inheritance. When we walk around schools, when we walk around malls, when we walk around the church, when we walk around our household, we take the land for Jesus Christ. We take our dominion by faith in this country as citizens, in our communities and cities and states. When our feet touch the ground, we take it. Somebody say, take it in the name and by the blood of Jesus. Oh, we praise you, Lord. And when you were pierced and the blood came out of your side, Lord, that your heart literally burst on the inside of you and blood and water came out. And we know that in this red heifer sacrifice, they mixed the blood and the water, the pure and the impure. We thank you, Lord, that when we come in contact with Jesus Christ, just like symbolically when the ashes of this burnt heifer mixed with the cedar wood, the hyssop, and the scarlet, when things that have touched death and destruction come in contact, they are made pure. The washing of the water of the word. We come in contact with Jesus Christ and we say our hearts, the motives of our lives, any issues in our heart of hearts, we receive our healing of any brokenness in our life. Because it's not your will that we stay broken. We receive our healing on the inside, Father God. And we thank you, Lord God, for that spirit of faith. Somebody say, I receive the spirit of faith. And I will come outside the realm of my reality and alter it by bringing it to the altar of sacrifice where Jesus is. And I receive change. I receive change in my life, change in my family, change in my marriage, change in my children, change in my business, change in my ministry, change in my nation, because I bring it to Jesus Christ and bring it in touch with Him. Glory, 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 glory. Just lift your hands and praise Him. Lord, we thank you. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory to God. Praise, praise, praise the name. Hallelujah. I believe God is healing our bodies today. Pain is leaving. Inflammation is leaving. Medical reports are going to change because the word says by his stripes we were healed. Hearts, eyes and ears and backs and joints, blood sugar levels. If everyone's believing for weight loss and getting our weight under control, we take these things in the name and by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 We take authority over depression. We break the power of depression and any mental things that try to come on us. And we have the peace of God that passes all understanding in every area of our life. Oh, we give you the praise, Father. We give you the praise. We give you the praise. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody say amen. Amen and amen and amen. Somebody say, I got it. I got it. In Jesus' name, amen.